And we're looking at the story of Daniel in the lion's den. And we're moving on. We saw that Daniel's prominence within the Persian Empire moved up very quickly. As I mentioned to you, a believer who knows the truth and believes that truth has one up on everyone else. And Daniel certainly did have it up on everyone else. And he was recognized by Darius or Cyrus. And he was placed in number two position right under Darius in his kingdom, that is, that section of the Medo-Persian Empire, which was the former Babylonian Empire. So we saw that rise in verses 1 to 3. We saw the plot of the leaders. They didn't like Daniel. Daniel was an old man at this time, probably in his late 80s, early 90s, and they didn't like answering to him. That's apparently the problem. I'm not sure. I noticed one thing, though. You know, when a man is living a godly life, the world doesn't like it. And that's a possibility also. So there are possibilities here, and we'd have to surmise, but there is a plot against them. They can't find anything in his character that is flawed. They look back over his history. They couldn't find anything there. They decided there's only one place they can attack Daniel, and that's in his faith. They searched his faith out. They couldn't find any discrepancies in there. And so they had to make a plot. And the plot was to have Darius, in appealing to his pride, to make a decree that for 30 days, any man or woman or any subject of the kingdom who went to any other god but Darius, that they would be thrown into the lion's den. Darius, we see that Darius is sort of taken in with that. His pride gets the better of him, and he does sign the decree. Daniel finds out about it in verses 10 and 11, and he does not change his practice. Three times a day he went to the east window of his home or wherever he lived and opened the window and prayed to Jehovah. He did that again, and they... leaders that were plotting against him saw him, and they went to Darius immediately. Darius in verses 12 to 18, and Darius throws him into the den of lions. And we have that in verses 19 through 24. And that's about where we were at, I think, when we left off last time, down in verse 19. The door or the opening of the lion's den is opened, and Daniel is thrown into the lion's den. The rock is rolled over. Reminds you sort of the Lord when they put him in the tomb. The stone was rolled over. Darius seals the tomb, but that apparently is not satisfactory to the others. They put their own seals on that, be sure that Darius wouldn't open that and let Daniel out. So Daniel's in the lion's den, and that's where we left off last time. Normally, if a man was thrown into a den of lions, probably before his feet touched the ground, he would have been snatched up by those lions. They would have torn him apart. That's not the case here. And there's a reason for this, of course. In Hebrews chapter 11, it's interesting, when in the great list of saints, he talks about how they conquered kingdoms and acted in righteousness and obtained promises, quenched fires. And in the very midst of that list in the Hebrews chapter 11, it says that he shut, one shut the mouth of the lions. And we assume that that's Daniel. There may have been other cases, but at least that's Daniel. Dr. Criswell, I don't know if you know Criswell. Criswell was the pastor of the First Baptist Church in Dallas. He has a commentary on Daniel. And he writes this concerning this. It's an interesting statement. He says, "And the Lord God not only sent an angel to watch over Daniel, but he also whispered into the ears of those beasts. He said, 'Listen, one of my servants is coming down to spend the night with you. Receive him cordially and hospitably. Make him comfortable. Hurt not a hair in his head. And lay your shaggy mane that he might use it as a pillow.' And God says, 'Hush.' And he gives sleep to his beloved." Daniel is in the lion's den. Nothing's happening. The lions are not roaring very loud. They're not... They still remain hungry, but they are protected. Verse 18, we'll move on. In verse 18, the king was in his palace, and you see the contrast between Daniel sleeping in the lion's den and the king. We'll see that as we go down through this, but it's just interesting. it's very customary for Persian kings to have music with their meals, and women, their concubine come in and dance around him and enjoy the evening together, having drinks. Historically, we're told, the records tell us, that Darius was devoted to wine and women, vain and without self-control. So you can understand the kind of evenings that he would spend in his palace. So for him to respond in such a manner would be very unusual. Verse 18 said, "The king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither was there instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him." So it's very unusual. It's even more unusual for a king to lose sleep over one of his subjects. I mean, a slave was you know, a slave. There's thousands of slaves. If one is killed, it doesn't make any difference. But it's unusual that that Darius would lose sleep over Daniel. Now we have the preservation of Daniel in verses 19 to 24. Some interesting things in this verse. Daniel is resting comfortably in the lion's den, and Darius is lying awake in his own bed. He's in his own den. He was in a den of dilemma and agonizing frustration. He's signed this decree, and he's brokenhearted about this. He's really, he just doesn't know what to do. He had no one to comfort him, and even his, not even his musicians. But you see, he had no one to blame but himself and his pride. His pride got the best of him when he signed that decree, and so he's losing a sleepless night. The text in verse 19 says, "The king arose very early in the morning." The text implies that just as the before the sun rises and the sky starts to get a little lighter in the east, that's the idea of this verse, that when that time came, now he spent a sleepless night. And I don't know if you ever had a sleepless night. You've done something, and maybe you made the wrong estimate, and you're waiting to see whether it's right or not, or whether it's, hopefully it's not acceptable to the other contractors. And you spend the night worrying about it, and you just can't wait to get up the next morning and find out what if you can change it or if you can do something about it. Have you ever done that? Just one of those nights that you just... You did something and you're not sure, or you made a mistake and you want to correct it, but you're lying awake night at that in the evening, and you don't get much sleep at all. And in the very first thing in the morning, you're up and you want to see if you can correct the error. I've been there a number of times in my life, so I understand. And if you've been there, you understand what Darius is going through. He's sort of sweating it out, if you please. He doesn't know what to do. In verse 20. And he went down to the lion's den, and with a lamentable means of distressing or troublesome or anxious or grieving or sorrowful, with the implication that there are regrets involved in this. That's the idea of this Chaldean word. It's clear that Darius was full of regret because he had been dubbed by his underlings, and to sign that decree. So he's upset, and the result of that, of course, was throwing Daniel into the lion's den, his number two man in his kingdom, a man that he trusted, a man that he put full confidence in, and now he had to throw him into the lion's den. Here is the most powerful man on the earth and doesn't have power to deliver Daniel. His wealth, his position did not bring happiness, nor can they remove the anxieties of his life. He's been caught in a bind, and he doesn't really know what to do. Wealth or position does not guarantee satisfaction. It doesn't matter how much money you have or what your position is in life, there's no guarantee of satisfaction. There's always something else to conquer, something else out there, or there's problems that come into our life. He lived in luxury. And the luxurious life can never satisfy. The emptiness of the human heart is always there. It has to be filled with something else. Darius was in a panic mode, and he's really sweating it out. Daniel, on the other hand, is having a restful night. And so early in the morning, he runs to the den and he cries out to Daniel, "Servant of the living God, is your God, who you continually serve, able to deliver you from the lions?" I don't think Darius expected an answer. I really don't. I don't think he had any idea what was happening in that lion's den. But he went there early. And you notice the phrase "living God" in this verse. Servant of the living God. Which shows that Darius at least had a God consciousness. Whether he was a believer or not, I don't know. And whether he ever came to know the Lord, I don't know. But he certainly had a God consciousness and realized that there was a living God. And he recognized Daniel's God as that living God. In contrast, of course, to all the idols and that were in Babylon and in the Medo-Persian Empire that were stones or silver or gold or wood. They were lifeless. They could not speak. And now he recognizes that Daniel's God is a living God. I don't know what the reaction of Darius was, but he heard a voice come out of that lion's den. And Daniel said unto the king, "O king, live forever." Quite a thing. Daniel's God had delivered him. He had been protected by the power of God through faith. And I want you to notice that. He was protected by God, by the power of God through faith. And how do I know that? That's exactly what the scriptures do. Will you turn to Hebrews chapter 11 with me? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 33. I alluded to that earlier, and we were talking about that. Hebrews 11, 33 says, "Who through faith," he's talking about these Old Testament saints now, and talking about Daniel, "who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions." It's through faith. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. 1 Peter 1, 5. And Peter writes these words, "Who," and he's referring to believers, "who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time." It's through faith that we're kept. It's through faith that we are protected. One more verse, or number of verses now. We turn to Psalm 91. Psalm 91. Psalm 91. David writes these words, "I will say of the Lord," this is in verse 2, "He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust." Now drop down to verse 9. "Because you have made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, your habitation. There will be no evil befall you, neither will any plague come near your dwelling. For you will deliver his angels, for he will give his angels charge over you and to keep you in all your ways. They will bear you up in their hands, lest you dash the foot against the stone. You will," now notice this next statement, "you will tread upon the lions and adders, the young lion and the dragon will you trample under feet, because he has set his love upon thee. Therefore I deliver him, I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him, and I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show my salvation." God's protection and deliverance of Daniel was exactly as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's deliverance was. It was by faith. There are a number of miracles in the Old Testament. You have the first major period of miracles in the Old Testament was during the time of Moses. Moses delivering the children out of Israel. The second was when Elijah and Elijah were called to lead the children of Israel out of their idolatry. And there were miracles that they performed. The next period of miracles in the New Testament, I'll come back to this in just a moment and answer this question about Daniel. But the next period of miracles in the Bible is in the New Testament. It begins with the Lord, and then with his disciples. Now there's going to be one more period of miracles, and that's during the tribulation period. So you have those four periods. And I thought about Daniel And I thought about others, you know, Samuel and others where there were miracles performed, David killing the lion and those kind of things. And I thought, you know, that's normal practice with God. God is constantly delivering. He's delivering you and I, and we don't even recognize it. There's dangers all around us, and He delivers us out of those things. So although it's a miracle, sometimes we don't see that miracle. It's just that God saw fit to show us that He could deliver Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from the fiery furnace. He could deliver Daniel out of the mouth of the lions, but He can deliver you and I out of our problems too. And He does. It's not unnormal for Him. How many times have we been delivered? You don't even know. How many times has He prevented an accident from happening while we're driving down the road? How many times has He prevented us from falling down the steps when we sort of tripped at the top of the steps? How many times has he saved us from fire that we were doing something in the kitchen and it could have caught on fire? How many times has He helped us when we were working on something and we're in a tight spot and the electricity is there, we could have electrocuted ourselves? How many times has He delivered us? Probably many, many times in our lives. God delivered Daniel. And he delivered by faith, just as He did Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And He delivers us constantly, sometimes not by faith, but He delivers us. Verse 22, "And my God has sent His angel and has shut the lion's mouth, that they have not hurt me, because before him innocence was found in me, and also before you, O king, that I done no hurt." Not only did He send His angels to protect Daniel, but He's also under the protection of the lions. I thought about that for a little bit. I'll tell you what, none of those presidents would have entered that lion's den to kill Daniel. Those lions were as much protection to Daniel as the angel was. There were people who sought his life, and it would have been very easy for them to creep into that den and kill him. But the lions, of course, prevented that from happening. God's power to deliver is never an issue. You understand that. The issue is always one of His sovereign will. If His sovereign will is to deliver, the circumstances mean absolutely nothing. Doesn't matter how bad the circumstance is, how dangerous the circumstance is, He will deliver. All right? You have to understand that. Sometimes His will is not to deliver. And you can change all the circumstances everywhere, and it still, you will not be delivered. He did not deliver Jesus from the cross. He did not deliver Stephen from death. See, He didn't deliver John the Baptist from being beheaded. God always has a plan for a believer. Always. He has a plan for your life. And sometimes it's deliverance and sometimes it's not. Sometimes He delivers us out of our situation, and sometimes He lets us stew in it. And there are always lessons to learn. Always lessons to learn. You see, release from suffering is just as much deliverance as it was with Daniel from the lion's den. When he delivers us from something, it's sure. See, Daniel and you and I, when we trust in God, there's the calmness over all the situations. See, if you know the truth, not knowing it, just knowing it, but if you know it and agree with it and appropriate it to your life, if by faith you claim the promises of God, it really doesn't matter what the issues are. It really doesn't. For Paul, to live, Christ, to die, gain. There were times when Paul was delivered. There were times when he wasn't delivered from suffering. There are times for you and I through all of this. But it all depends upon God's plan for your life. And in that plan, he has a purpose for every one of us, and he accomplishes his purpose through sufferings or for deliverance of sufferings. Yeah, Dan? Right. That's absolutely right. Right. We have a tendency to panic, don't we, when we're faced with problems. And sometimes we don't trust God at all. We go through the panic things, and you know what? It always works out. Good or bad, it comes to an end somewhere. And sometimes we can trust God and we know that he works all things together for good, and we claim God's promises for our situation, and it may not be good at that moment for us, at least appear to be good, but in the long haul it is good. It's intrinsically good, as Romans tells us, Romans 8:28. So yes, it is interesting as we look at life, how all this happens. But that's why Daniel could be calm in the lion's den. And see, on the other hand, that's why Darius was so panicked, because he didn't believe those things. He had nothing to grasp a hold of. What could he hold on to? Could he hold on to his wealth? Is that going to deliver him? Can he hold on to the fact that he has this beautiful castle, that he's ruling over this territory and all these people? None of them. He called all his wise men. That ain't going to help him. But Daniel, here's this old man who I sort of picture him and, you know, walking with a cane, you know, and I don't know if he was that way or not, but I sort of have that picture of Daniel and him being taken into the lion's den. But by faith, he was delivered. He trusted in the living God. Just interesting as you look at this and you see it. Daniel explains to Darius that my God has sent his angels to shut the mouths of the lions. My God has sent them. See, Daniel had a personal relationship with God. It's my God. It's not just God, it's my God. And you notice that he sent his angel. Singular, not angels, but singular, angel. I suspect that this is the same one that appeared in the fire with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It's the theophanies. It's the presence or the revelation of God or the revealing of God or coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh, or at least appearing in the Old Testament in a human form. My God, the theophanies, the angel of the Lord. He's the same one Nebuchadnezzar saw in that fiery furnace. Now, one more thing about this verse. The last part of this verse seems to indicate that Daniel's sinless. Do you notice what it said? Let me find it. It's verse 22, Daniel 6:22. My God sent his angel and has shut the mouth of the lion's mouth, that they may have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocence was found in me. Well, Daniel is not claiming sinlessness here. What he's doing is he's claiming that the accusations that they made against me, I have not been a traitor to you. I've stood firm with you. I've done everything that I should with you. I stand innocent before you. The only thing I'm guilty of is breaking this decree that you sent. And I can't do that. And I stand innocent before you. I have no regrets of what I've done before you. and I stand innocent before God in this matter. The king is on an emotional low. I mean, he's down, and now all of a sudden he's in verse 23. He jumps up and he's happy. Notice what he says. Then the king was exceedingly glad for him. Again, you see the emotional instability of one who is not trusting in God. He's up, down one moment, he's up the next, he's down the next, he's up the next. With Daniel, there's a consistency. Emotional stability in life comes when you trust in a sovereign God. Darius did not have stability because he did not know the truth. Daniel had stability because he knew the truth and he agreed with the truth and he appropriated the truth. He lived by faith, and by faith, the lion's mouth was shut. Do you remember Nebuchadnezzar's reaction back in chapter 3, verse 17? Let me read it to you. Don't turn back to verse 17 and 18. If it be so, our God whom we serve, this is Shadrach and Meshach, this is their response to Nebuchadnezzar. If it so be, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fire, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto you, O king, that we will not serve your gods, nor worship the golden image which you have set before us. This is why Daniel would not pray to the king. You're not going to do it. There's only one God you can pray to, and he believed in that God. He's innocent. He serves the only true God. Now, in this verse 23, he commanded that these men who had, those that were with him, I don't know, he said, let me read it there again, down in verse 23, the king was exceedingly glad. And then in verse 24, and the king commanded, and they brought those men who had, this isn't where I want to go, up and commanded that they should take Daniel out of the den. The they there, I'm not sure who the they that he's referring to. It may have been soldiers that have been stationed outside the den to protect the wall, be sure that stone was not rolled away. Or it may have been when the king went down to the lion's den that some soldiers accompanied him, and the possibility is both of those. They. I can envision this stone being rolled away. Can you imagine that? Here's this huge stone. They roll the stone away from the door. I would suspect that the guards, and you can envision. Here's Daniel just over on the other side. The stone's rolled away, and here's Daniel standing. There's lions over here, there's lions over here, there's lions behind him, and their mouths are, they're hungry. And here are the soldiers. I mean, they're going to roll the stone away. They're going to be very, very cautious. They're afraid. Those lions could get out. And so that you can picture this in your mind as you envision this. Here he is. Extremely cautious. They're filled with fear. Filled with fear. Those lions could pounce on them just like that. Daniel, just as calm as can be. The person who understands and believes in God's sovereignty finds great stability in life. By appropriating God's grace and his provisions for us, his power is released. The power to subdue those lions or to keep the mouths of the lions shut comes by faith. Do you realize that we glorify God when we appropriate his grace and his provisions for us? Daniel was in that lion's den, but I want to tell you, he was glorifying God because he stood there by faith. We have to stop there. We'll pick up next week. And by the way, I'll say this. We'll stop with that. Can you imagine Daniel walking out of the lion's den, brushing the hair off his coat? Oh, there's one, picking it off and dropping it down as he walks out. I can picture him doing that, you know. Just anyway, let's close with a word of prayer. Father, we do thank you for your love and your grace, and we thank you for this great example of your deliverance. And Father, we realize that constantly you are delivering us. just that our eyes are not open all the time to the truth. We don't see everything. But Father, we praise you for all that you've done for us, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.